Topic Answers music. That's the game show music. It's not Christmas music either, but hey, what the heck. It's still a Christmas game show. Nick does the best he can.
Ho, ho, ho.
Had to edit 14 shows today to get them ready for the pre-records that will run Christmas week and all that stuff. We're so delighted to have you here with us. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host this hour, joined in studio right now by our super top secret celebrity guest, Carlo Broussard. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Cy?
Not much, but I should say this. Carlo is the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel,
That's
and
right.
the Church. He just recorded a few focus episodes with me this morning. We talked about relativism.
Yeah,
so
we were geeking out, man.
We were indeed. My brain is still hurting, but I think I can make it through. And the game show pits, I shouldn't say pits, but we have two contestants that will contest with one another for a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. They are called Contestant 1 and Contestant 2, but they have real names. They are just Contestant 1 and Contestant 2 based on the order that their names were drawn out of a box today. The fact that one is number 1 and one is number 2 only comes into play in the event of a tie after the first two rounds, which has only happened once, I think. So Contestant number 1 is... are you there with us, Contestant number 1?
I am here, Cy.
And what are you called, and what's interesting about you?
Well, my name is Julie, and I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I love learning about the faith.
Fantastic, Julie. Happy to have you here with us. And contestant number 2, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
And what do you go by, and what's interesting about you?
My name is Ken, and I restore old cars. We work on mostly pre-World War II cars.
Wow.
And I'm also a Catholic apologist. I'm a cradle Catholic, but I just started learning more about the faith in the last 5 years.
Amen to that.
Okay, wait a second. You're a Catholic apologist. How do you feel about that, Julie, that we have pulled out of a box the name of a Catholic apologist to contest against you?
Well, I'm going to have to up my game, and I do have lifelines.
Oh, that's true. You do have lifelines. Okay, that's a perfect signal for me to go through the rules. Here's how the game. There are three rounds to the Catholic Answers game show. The first two rounds are multiple choice questions. Each contestant has two. We call them salvation lines. We might even give you three. I don't know, because it's Christmas time. I mean, it's not the Christmas season, but it's coming up on Christmas. I might give you a third one.
The Christmas spirit is in the air.
There definitely is a Christmas spirit in the air, especially because we have cookies and chocolate milk here.
And in this case, on the radio waves.
So each round of the first two rounds, each contestant will get three multiple choice questions. You have two what are called salvation lines that you can use. Carlo will help you with either one of those. The second round is also three multiple choice questions. So probably the way I should have said it is a total of six multiple choice questions in the first two rounds. And once you use up one of your salvation lines, it is gone for both rounds. So if you use it in the first round, it won't be available to you in the second round. If you save it, it will be available to you in the second round. The two salvation lines, as we call them. One is you can ask Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer from the three multiple choice answers you'll be given. The other salvation line you have is you can just ask Carlo to give you the answer. Is that clear to everybody?
Do I have to do it in pig Latin?
Oh, wait a second.
Or
he's
did
not
you do
just
away
gonna,
with that?
No, I didn't do away with that. I just was waiting to see what your reaction would be. But when he gives you the answer, he will have to give it to you in pig Latin. So, Julie and Ken, are you comfortable with those rules?
No, that works.
All right. At the end of two rounds, whoever has gotten the most right out of six will proceed on to round three. If there is a tie, we will use the boxes that are on the desk in front of us, A and B. We'll have Julie, because she's contestant number one, pick A or B. And whatever it says inside of that box, that is what will happen. One of you will go on, and one of you will leave with a magnificent gift. In the third round, we call final judgment. It is seven true or false questions that you'll get to go to. Everybody ready to start?
I'm ready.
All right. Guess who's not ready? Where are my questions? I know they're around here somewhere. Okay, here they are. I am ready to go now. Julie, you are contestant number one. This is round one. Your first question is, which gospel – oh, by the way, there's going to be a Christmas theme to all this. Which gospel mentions the Magi or Magi? Is it A, Matthew, B, Mark, C, Luke?
A, Matthew.
Ding, correct. Good job.
Nice job. And who are these people, Carla?
Well, I was afraid you would ask me that question.
So you prepared.
Because it's difficult to try and answer that question. So, you know, Magi, coming from the Greek word there, which simply means a wise man, it can also be used in the sense of a sorcerer or some sort. So it has a wide range of meanings, from something that's positive to something that's negative. But Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, in his book Jesus of Nazareth, the infancy narratives in that particular volume, he has a section where he reflects upon who these wise men may have been. And the common understanding is that they probably were some sort of members of the Persian priestly caste, or if not direct priests or members of the Persian priesthood, nevertheless, as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI points out, custodians of religious and philosophical knowledge that had developed in that area, and they continued to cultivate at that time. So that's, you know, it's ambiguous. We don't have a definitive answer to that question, but that's sort of where scholars lean, the direction in which scholars lean.
All right. Contestant number two, you are up next. And your first question, that's Ken, by the way, contestant number two. Your first question, which gospel, Ken, begins with the words, "In the beginning was the Word"? Is it A, Luke, B, Mark, or C, John?
C, John.
Very good, Ken. Now, follow-up question, John. Can you cite – this is not for points, by the way. But think about, where is it in the Bible where it says "in the beginning" in John? What chapter? Which verse? Chapter 1, verse 1. So for all our listeners out there that can go and check it out, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
There's another book where that starts with the words "in the beginning."
That is correct.
All right.
And that book would be?
Genesis.
There we go.
Sorry, no points.
Good job, kid.
All right. Back to Julie. Julie, your second question of round one. The Gospel of Luke begins with A, the story of John the Baptist's origins, B, the story of Jesus' origins, or C, a note to a guy named Theophilus.
It begins with the birth of John the Baptist's origins.
Oops.
Oh, yeah.
The Theophilus part.
That's right. You got it. It's the Theophilus. Yeah. So Theophilus, it's possible, Cy, that Luke is not writing the gospel for a single person, Theophilus, named Theophilus. It was current fashion of dedicating literary works to some distinguished personage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible Luke is doing that. But as far as who he is, all we can garner from the evidence, the little evidence that we have, he's already a Christian, right? The title, Most Excellent Theophilus, indicates that probably an imperial official of the Roman administration. And his name means the beloved of God, and some have said that it's possible a fictitious personage symbolizing the Gentile Christian, a Gentile Christian or Gentile Christians as a whole. But there is a strong case to be made that it is a particular person named Theophilus. So
it's a very fortunate name if it is a particular person to start a gospel with the name Theophilus.
Yeah, amen. Which means beloved of God.
All right, Ken, your second question of round one is as follows. Why does Joseph bring Jesus and Mary back from Egypt to Israel? A, an angel appears to him in a dream and tells him to. B, Herod has died and now it is safe for Jesus. C, both of these.
I would say B.
Oh,
well, Ken,
it's both.
That's right. And the first one was the angel appears and says, and in the dream, and tells him, right? And the reason why the angel is telling him to do so was because Herod died and it's now safe for Jesus.
As a matter of fact, I think what the angel says is Herod has died. And
that's right. Yeah, this is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Yep. And that is exactly what the angel tells him.
All right. We're a little more than halfway through round one. Julie and Ken are our contestants. This is the Christmas edition of the Catholic Answers Game Show. We'll take a quick break and be right back to finish round one right after this.
This is Bishop Robert Barron, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Yeah. Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm Cy Kellett, your Christmas game show host. Joined in studio and listening to the dulcet tones of Carlo Broussard. Hi, Carlo. Ken and Julie are our contestants. Each has done two questions. We are currently tied. We go to Julie to your question number three, your last question of round one. Neither of you has used a lifeline yet or a salvation line, as I keep forgetting to call them. So you can save them or use them, but they will still be available to you if you don't use them this time. Julie, your third question of round two is, which two people receive visits from the angel Gabriel in the New Testament? Which two people receive visits from the angel Gabriel in the New Testament? A, Mary and Joseph. B, Mary and Zechariah. C, Zechariah and Elizabeth.
B, Mary and Zechariah.
Nice. I'm impressed.
Good,
I kind of thought that people might go with Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
But it was indeed Mary and Zechariah. Tell us about that, Carlo.
Yeah. So Julie she hit the nail on the head, because in the Gospels, when it speaks of the angel appearing to to Joseph, it never tells us which angel is appearing to Joseph. It just says an angel appears. But angel Gabriel specifically appears both to Zechariah and Mary, to Zechariah in Luke 1:1-24. That's the whole narrative there. And then Mary, of course, at the Annunciation in Luke 1:26-38. So kudos to you, Julie. Praise God. That was an awesome answer.
Nice job, yeah. Julie. Ken, your final question, your third question of round one is as follows. Which gospel includes, am I reading the right question now? Nick, just keep me on track, okay? Which gospel includes these words? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is that the gospel of A, Matthew, B, Luke, C, no gospel includes these words?
I'd like to use a lifeline.
All right. Which lifeline would you like to use?
The correct answer in Pig Latin.
Nice. The correct answer in Pig Latin from Carlo Bucci. This is pretty much my favorite time of the month when this comes around. Once a month we do this show, and then Carlo has to say stuff in Pig
okay,
Latin.
So this one's going to be an easy one for you, Ken, because there's a multiplicity of verbiage here. One, ospelge, includesie, hisete, Ord's way.
That was the best Pig Latin he's ever done. That was brilliant, Carlo. You've been
Thank
practicing.
You very much. Thank
All
you
right.
Very
so, was it A, Matthew? Was it B, Luke? Or was it C, no gospel includes these words?
Boy, I'm going to go with C.
You scared me there for a minute,
you had
Ken.
Be worried there, kid.
All right, Ken. For 0 bonus points, do you know where that does appear?
No.
Well, maybe a easier question would be maybe perhaps which prophet do you think says those words? Isaiah or Jeremiah?
Isaiah.
Well, Isaiah has the most.
There you go. Yeah.
He's the great prophet of the Messiah.
Yeah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So for our listeners out there, they can check it out. It is interesting. Notice there, it says, Mighty God, and it's referring to the Messiah. So there we have a hint in the Old Testament prophecies of the divinity of the Messiah. So that's something that Christian apologists often appeal to in order to establish some biblical basis for even this Old Testament tradition of the Messiah being divine.
Think Paul ever used that line when he was arguing in the synagogue?
That's a good question. It's not found in his writings. He doesn't appeal to it. But you wonder if he may have appealed to that.
Okay, so we are on to round two. After one round, Marie, correct me if I am wrong. It is tied up. Both have 2 correct answers. All right, contestant Woo-hoo. Number one, Julie, has 2 correct. Contestant number two, Ken, has 2 correct. We go now to round two. And you can continue to use your lifelines. Those that are left to you, you may continue to use in this round. Contestant one, Julie, your first question. The church teaches that Mary is – oh, by the way, Mary's super important to Christmas, so I put a whole bunch of Marian questions in here in round two. As a matter of fact, without Mary –
Yahoo.
I don't know if you know this. Without Mary, no Christmas. So a little trivia for you there. So, Julie, the church teaches that Mary is A, the mother of Jesus – but not the mother of the second person of the Trinity. B, the mother of God. C, the mother of the second person of the Trinity, but not of Jesus.
The church teaches that Mary is B, the mother of God.
Woo-hoo. Wow, you that was very confident the way that you...
Amen. Good
she
job,
is indeed the
Julie.
Mother of God.
Yep.
How is that, Carlo?
That's
how
a very
can a human
question.
Woman be the mother of God?
She is the mother of God in as much as Jesus is God. So although she's not the source of his divine nature, so we're not saying she's divine, nor is she even the source of Jesus's human soul, for that requires the direct action of Almighty God. But she is mother of Jesus, mother of a person. The person who was born of Mary is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And so consequently, we refer to her as the mother of God, which Elizabeth says in Luke 1:43, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Now, somebody might say, well, Lord can be used for some earthly king or earthly potentate, and so that's possibly how Elizabeth is using the term Lord there. But when you look at the visitation narrative, parallel to the narrative concerning the Ark of the Covenant and David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David says almost verbatim, who am I that the Ark of my Lord should come into my presence?
A little hint who the Lord is there.
A hint who the Lord is. And Luke clearly, when you look at the details of the narratives, is drawing a parallel to that event. And so thus it's reasonable to conclude that when Elizabeth says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me, she's using Lord in the divine sense, not merely in an earthly sense.
I always like what Tim Staples says about we confess Mary as the mother of God because we don't ever want to deny Jesus is God. This is not to try to make Mary equal with
no. It's a simple question.
Yeah.
Who did Mary give birth to?
God.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Who and what is Jesus? He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, therefore divine. So very simple.
All right. Contestant number two, Ken, your first question of round two. The church teaches that Mary was A, conceived without sin, B, saved by Jesus, C, both of these.
C, both of
them. Oh, good job,
They know
Ken.
They're Marian dogmas.
That's right. You weren't able to trip them up on that one, Si.
No.
I think it's important for our listeners to know that Ken, in as much as Ken is affirming that Mary, even though conceived without sin, was indeed saved by Jesus, and because many of our Protestant brothers and sisters will get tripped up from Luke 1:47, where Mary in her Magnificat rejoices in God, her Savior.
Yeah.
Right? And on supposition that she's referring to eternal salvation there, because some can argue that she's referring to a temporal form of salvation.
Okay.
But even if we grant she's referring to this idea of being saved from sin, we are saved from sin after the fact, but as the church teaches, she was saved from sin before the fact, in anticipation of the cross of Jesus Christ. As Pope Pius IX, when he defined the Immaculate Conception in 1854, defined it as, you know, in light of the foreseen merits of Jesus' death on the cross. And you can read about this as well in paragraphs 492 and 411 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
I don't remember who the saint was, but I always like the example of if you fall in a ditch, someone can save you by pulling you out. But if you haven't fallen in yet, someone can save you by warning you or protecting you.
Protecting you from going and from falling into the pit, correct.
Nice job, both of you, on these Marian questions.
Man.
I got a lot more Mary for you, though, because don't forget that Mary is central to Christmas. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about getting a bumper sticker that says, keep Mary in Christmas. You know how they have the ones that say, keep Christ in Christmas?
And the reason why we keep Mary in Christmas is in order to keep Jesus
Christmas. Amen. Right. All right, so your second question, Julie, is... it's on my computer, which is glitching a little bit, and so I'm vamping for a moment here while I find somebody.
Go.
Can you read it? Just read it.
Okay. All right. So this is for Julie, correct?
Yeah.
All right, Julie, here we go. Mary calls Joseph Jesus's A, foster father, B, guardian, or C, father.
I'm going to use
the
salvation line on this one.
Okay, salvation line, Si.
Okay, so you have two salvation lines. You can either have Carlo eliminate one of the two wrong answers, or you can ask Carlo to just give you the correct answer, but he will have to do so in Pig Latin.
Oh, definitely Pig Latin.
Here we go. Igpe Adenle.
Okay, here we go. All right, let me buck up here. Author Fay. I did it. That was pretty good, son.
All right. So the answers, your choices are foster father. That's what Mary calls Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, or B, guardian, or C, father.
B, father.
Amen. C, father. She got it right.
Why do all these people always say, oh, Joseph is the foster father? Mary, where did she ever say that Joseph is Jesus' father?
In Luke 1:48, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. So that's the terminology that Mary uses.
All right, Ken, your question number two. Congratulations, Julie, by the way. Ken, your question number two. What follows Mary's declaration, may it be done unto me according to your word? A, the Immaculate Conception. B, her betrothal to Joseph. C, the incarnation of God.
A.
Uh-oh.
No, unfortunately, Ken, that is the incorrect answer. The Immaculate Conception refers to when Mary was conceived without original sin. The question is concerning when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, hey, Mary, you want to bear the Son of the Living God, the Messianic King? And then Mary responds and says, may it be done unto me according to your word. And thus, we assume, and here's a very interesting detail, Si, I was kind of skeptical about your question here, if it would trip someone up, because the Bible never tells us that the incarnation, where the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, assumes a human nature, right? happens immediately at that moment.
Yes, but
the Bible doesn't say it explicitly. So, but we assume that the incarnation of God would have taken place at that moment or sometime thereafter, perhaps.
Right. Fair enough. Okay, back to round two. Question number three for Julie. Julie, which of the following is not a Marian dogma?
Emphasize not.
Okay, so we're looking for the one out of three that's not a Marian dogma. A, perpetual virginity. B, immaculate conception. C, ascension into heaven.
Ascension into heaven, she was assumed.
Oh, Julie is bad.
Ooh, well, good job, Julie.
I tried to read it really fast so you might not hear it. Like, ascension into heaven. What's the difference between ascension and assumption, Carlo?
Yeah, well, ascension connotes the Jesus ascending into heaven by his own power. When we speak of Mary being assumed into heaven, it connotes the idea that God is assuming her. She's not going up by her own power, but God is bringing her up into heaven.
All right, we got to finish round two when we come back, because you can hear that music. That means we got to take a break. So your final question of round two, Ken, when we come back to the Catholic Answers Christmas Edition game show, right after this.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Advent is upon us and Christmas approaches. Catholic Answers wants you to know about our annual Christmas sale, with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new products on doctrine, church history, morality, apologetics, and much more, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com today to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout and save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and co-workers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Monday on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Nice. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live, Christmas edition game show. We're about in the middle of it right now. It's Julie against Ken. And all the questions are, well, they're all Catholic questions, but they're pretty Christmassy. They all have some connection to Christmas.
This is calling to mind our game show that we had at our Founder Circle, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to host the game show at the Founder Circle. That was – let me just say this.
I love these Catholic game
shows. Ken and Julie are like saints. It's like talking to the Holy Family compared to running a game show with apologists playing against one another. That was a nightmare. That was horrifying.
Indeed. We almost had a few fists thrown, right?
It was not good, let me tell you. I had to do some repair work with Tim Staples.
Tim
after
Staples
that.
Ready. Take off the gloves, man.
I know. So, Julie and Ken, thank you for being far, far more humane than the apologists here. Ken, your final question of round two. Who's greeting, quote, greatly troubled, end quote, Mary? Who's greeting greatly troubled Mary? A, Zechariah. B, the shepherds. C, Gabriel.
Greeting greatly troubled Mary. Oh, Gabriel's greeting.
Very good. There you go, Ken. That is correct. And you can find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 29. The interesting question there is why? You know, because he comes and says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." To which she responds, or we're told, that the saying greatly troubled her. So the question is, why did this address of Gabriel greatly trouble her? And I find it fascinating that some Bible scholars have suggested that that phrase, "the Lord is with you," whenever it's used throughout salvation history in the Old Testament, it's always when there's some sort of manifestation where God, there's a revelation that a great mission is being bestowed upon an individual, where the fate of God's people is dependent upon how they respond, right? And that phrase is always there in the midst of it, like, "The Lord is going to be with you. The Lord's going to see you through it. The Lord is with you."
Right? Yeah, right.
We see that a few, like 5 or 6 times in the Old Testament. So some have suggested that Mary, being the good Jewish girl that she is, knowing what, you know, is said whenever this great mission is being bestowed upon somebody. And so the angel comes and says, "The Lord is with you." So she's immediately calling to mind, "Oh no, this is like a super awesome mission being bestowed upon me, and the fate of God's people is dependent upon how I'm going to respond."
Yeah.
So you could imagine a 15, 16-year-old girl thinking that she would be troubled in some way by that, right?
Yeah.
That's one suggestion. I'm sure there are others out there, but I find that interesting.
Fair enough. Marie, I'm going to need you to tell me the score. Have you tallied it up? Okay, so Julie has how many points? And Ken has how many points? I'm getting hand signals here.
Come on, man. You're keeping us in suspense.
Julie has 5. Ken has 4. Oh. Congratulations, Julie. You will go on to your final judgment coming up here in a moment. Ken, we have to say thank you and send you away.
Good job, Julie.
With a beautiful, beautiful gift.
Thank you, Ken. You too.
God bless you, Ken.
Ken, we're going to send you Carlo Broussard's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and anything else that Marie feels like throwing in the box.
I hope you enjoy it, Ken.
Yes, it was a lot of fun, and thank you guys for putting us on.
Well, thank you for being here, Ken, and Merry Christmas to you. Amen. And all yours. Once again, we don't have to use the tie boxes, so we can take those off of the off the bay. Julie,
the hideous polka dot boxes.
You knew a lot about Mary, Julie.
I love Mary.
I'm so glad to hear.
I'm Catholic.
Mary's the reason you're Catholic. Tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I had the audacity to pray the rosary as a Protestant, and somehow it's, you know, like, oh, whoa, Catholicism is true. How about that?
Oh, I see.
Once I started praying the rosary, like a switch went off in my brain, and
wow,
all those apologetics that I dismissed suddenly made sense.
Beautiful.
She has a tendency to bring people to Jesus. I've noticed that about our Heavenly Mother.
And even those who are with Jesus, she brings them closer. Even closer.
Right, right. Amen. Including the apostles.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Julie, when were you received fully into the Catholic Church?
Easter Vigil 2016 at St. Joseph Parish in Wenatchee, Washington.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Julie, in Wenatchee, Washington?
Hi, Carlo.
I was there mm-hmm. for 4 years. So, like, apparently you know me. Do I know you?
Well, you know, I know who you are.
Oh, you're Julie. Oh, I think I remember who you are now.
That is so weird. That is wild. Julie, I don't think we can give you any prizes because you have a connection to somebody here at Catholic Answers. I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Thanks for playing, Julie. Goodbye.
I can't remember your last name, but do we give last names on here?
She can if she wants. It's up to her. I wouldn't give my last name on here.
Okay,
you,
so
it's Lolo. So Julie.
Yes.
And our, my, Our son was in the karate with your son.
That's right. That's right.
Fantastic. I know exactly. I think Ken got ripped off. I think we need to get Ken back here. This is a total inside job.
Now it makes sense why Julie.
Oh, a lot's starting to make sense. A lot's starting to make sense. I think we need a special prosecutor to look into this.
Because Julie, let me tell you something. Julie is a sharp knife in the kitchen.
Well, we'll find out because it's time for Julie's final judgment. 7 true or false questions, Julie. And each true or false question has the potential to win you a prize. I don't know what the prizes are because Marie has not put the list up for me. She's going to do that. I know she's going to put the list up for me. Oh, I just get to give away whatever I want. Okay, fair enough. I'm just trying to motivate Marie to do it. And so each question that you get correct, you will get the prize that was named before I ask you the question. And if you get all 7 correct, you also get a $50 credit at shop.catholic.com. $50 credit at shop.catholic.com. All of this is pending the outcome of the investigation of the special prosecutor into the tampering that has gone on here.
Well, you know, I remember right before we left Wenatchee to come here to Southern California for me to start working here at Catholic Answers, Julie was just starting to inquire about the faith, had entered into the RCIA program, was starting to listen to Catholic radio, which thanks be to God for the good work of my friend John Haberman and Dale Peterson and all the work that they do to have Catholic radio there. And so she was just starting to enter into that journey as we left. So it's great to hear, Julie, that the Lord saw you through crossing that, I guess, the starting line here, right, to begin this journey of Catholicism.
So before
amen. Thank you, Carlo.
All right. Amen, Julie. Before I start, can I just ask you this? Did Carlo leaving help you to come into the Catholic Church? I'm sorry. That was not a fair question. All right. Question number one. You are playing for inseparable 5 perspectives on sex, life, and love in defense of Humani Vitae. For Chris Check and I, we both picked this as the book of the year, and I'm delighted that you have an opportunity to win it. It's I have to say, Carlo, when I first got it, it's a Catholic Answers book, and when I first got it, I thought, okay, a book on contraception, you know, I'll read it and we'll see what it says, but it's just magnificent. It's so far beyond being a book on contraception. Julie, your question, true or false? Constantine started the celebration of Christmas as a Christianized version of a Roman pagan holiday.
That is false.
That is correct, Julie Lulos.
Julie, you get you have won so far a copy of Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. Congratulations. Question number 2. Marie, I know what's going on. Assistant producer Marie came in to make sure that I had found the list. But this is – it is such a Christmas spirit around here. Merry Christmas, everybody. Julie, question number 2. You're playing for Made This Way, Layla Miller's brand new book that just came out this year on helping kids with the toughest moral issues, get them answers to the toughest moral issues. Trent Horn also has his name on that book, although I am told Layla Miller did all the hard work. Julie, true or false? Jesus was probably not born in the year 1 AD.
That's true. He probably wasn't born in that year.
Very good.
Carlo, when do you think he was born? What year?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting question because for some time, many scholars were putting forth the idea that perhaps Jesus was born around 6 BC, 5, 6 BC, given the dating of certain things and using the calendar, you know, that we use today and stuff. It's probably true that he was more likely born around 2 or 3 BC.
Yeah.
In light of the calculations, and our colleague and friend Jimmy Akin has a great series of posts on this topic. Where Jimmy just like a surgeon, man, just fine tuning and just precise. And you can search that in Google, the dating of Christmas, and that's at jimmyakin.com. And then he has the series of posts there listed as a roundup.
All right, Julie, you're still in running for the grand prize because thus far, no wrong questions in your final judgment. I hope your real final judgment goes as well, Julie. Question number 3, you're playing for the book Behold Your Mother, Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. That's the very fine and much lauded book from Tim Staples. True or false, Julie, Jesus' human soul was created out of nothing at the moment of his conception.
Now, do I still have any lifelines left?
You do not. We don't allow lifelines into the final. But I'll tell you what. It's Christmas. It's Christmas time. Christmas is coming.
Can I just say this? That, Julie, you were thinking on the right path. You emphasized the correct idea there. Jesus' human soul.
Since our human souls are created at the moment of our conception, I would have to say that Jesus' human soul was created at the moment of his conception.
You go, Julie.
Amen to that, sister.
There you go. Now you want another book. Behold your mother. You got three books so far. You got four questions to go. As you answer each question correctly, we're going to give you the book. But if you get all seven correct, you also get a $50 credit at shop.catholic.com. We have to take a quick break. I will let you know that if you go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page right now, you can download a free copy of the ebook, Seeking the Star of Bethlehem. It's not at the Catholic Answers page, our webpage. It's at the Catholic Answers Facebook page, Seeking the Star of Bethlehem. Free ebook available right now.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Coming down to the final minutes of the Catholic Answers first annual Christmas edition of the Catholic Answers game show. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Julie is almost halfway through her final judgment here. So question number four, and I'm going to go with a little bit of speed now because I don't want to have it happen that we get to the end of the show and you haven't had all seven questions asked. So the question number four, you are playing for Why We're Catholic. That is the very, very popular book from Trent Horn. True or false, Simeon prophesied that the heart of Jesus would be pierced by a sword.
False, he prophesied that Mary's heart would be pierced by a sword.
Oh, dang. Ask a Marian woman a Marian question. You did it. You got it. Why We're Catholic is yours now. You got four correct out of seven thus far. And three to go, so you are still on track to pass your final judgment.
And that's
judgment.
In Luke 2:34, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right. And then right after that, Anna, right? It's these two kind of very ecstatic people.
Characters,
yeah, and they both recognize Jesus, even his infancy. Amen. By the grace of God, I imagine. Question number five, you're playing for Jimmy Akin's brand new book, Teaching with Authority. Just came out within the last couple months, and the question is this, true or false? A strong tradition in the church is that the stable into which Jesus was born was a cave, and this is quite possible because there are many cave stables that date to Jesus' time.
That is true.
Amen to that.
That is true. You can
don't have much to say about that.
Because you can go on the internet and you can look up Bethlehem Cave Stables, and there they are. But I'm going to take this opportunity to recommend a very fine essay called The God in the Cave, where G.K. Chesterton makes the point that it's important and very significant that Jesus is born underground in a cave. Mm. He relates it to cavemen. He relates it to the tomb. It's a magnificent piece of work.
Does he talk about Plato's cave at all?
I don't think that he does talk about
Plato's
analogy. Yeah, the allegory of the cave. Yeah, right. I don't think he does in that essay.
Interesting.
But that's in the book. Wait, which book is that? The Everlasting Man. Everlasting Man from G.K. Chesterton. By the way, Dale Alquist, the president of the G.K. Chesterton Club, he's going to be on next Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you like Chesterton, we'll have a great show with Dale Alquist. And I know it's great because we already did it. Okay, question number six for you, Julie. You're playing for The Fathers Know Best, Jimmy Akin's book on the church fathers. The Fathers Know Best. True or false? The presentation in the temple occurred 8 days after Jesus' birth.
That is false. It occurred 40 days after.
Everybody's freaking out in here, Julie. Good job, sister. Woo-hoo. What is going on? Are you using some sort of supercomputer? You didn't hardly even flinch at that. Well, we all thought, oh, this is the one. I mean, because in Luke's gospel, is it Luke's or Matthew's? Where Luke's gospel, they seem to happen boom, boom, right after one another. But wow, Julie, yes. What happened at 8 days?
He got circumcised.
You got circumcised.
Right. He just got circumcised.
Yeah, no, Julie hit the nail on the head. That comes from the Levitical law in Leviticus 12, verses 3 through 4. You see that for the male, you had like after the eighth day where the male would be circumcised, there would be like 33 more days of purification. So 40th, 41st, depending on how you count the days, 40th day, you would have the presentation. And then for the female, it would be later because it was 66 days. After like 2 weeks or something like that.
For question, congratulations, by
that
the way.
That was fantastic.
You're killing it.
Julie, I wish you could have seen the studio in here. Whenever you answered, everybody just went, what?
That
was great.
It seemed like a really hard question to me. You wrote that question, right? That came from the boss, Darren.
Oh, well, that's why he reacted so
much. Yeah, because I don't think he thought, you didn't think she was going to get it, did you? No. No. So,
well, that's easy for somebody who's not attentive to the details there.
Myself included.
Could easily get tripped up on that question. Right. So that was a fantastic answer.
Right. All right, the last true or false question. And this one, you are playing for just one of the greatest books in the world. It's called Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church.
Oh, I'm so touched, Si.
Yes.
We got such kind words.
We got to add that to your list. It's written by the father of all the Broussard children. The husband of Jacqueline Broussard, the man himself, Carlo Broussard. So are you ready for this? We tried to give you a tough one.
I'm ready.
This is a tough one.
Okay.
And if you don't, so if you get this one now, because this is the last question on your final judgment, if you get this one, you get the book, the Carlo Broussard book, Prepare the Way, and you also will have gotten all seven questions, so it also comes with a $50 credit at shop.catholic.com. True or false? I'm almost nervous to read this. I'm starting to...
I think you need to bring Tim Staples in here, man, because he loves this one.
Okay. Julie, true or false? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Now, Julie, take your time. Take your time on this.
Now, is this theology or popular culture?
Okay. You tell me. Which way do you want to go? Theology or popular culture?
I want to go theology.
Oh, you want to go theology. Okay, so now you have you've narrowed the possibilities on this one. In a theological sense, if you were to ask a theologian, does an angel get his wings when a bell rings, the answer would that is true or false?
That is false because angels are spirits. They don't actually have physical parts.
Amen to that.
Hey, congratulations. Now let's do the pop culture one. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Is that true or false in pop culture?
That's true. That will be true.
And why?
It might be true for you. Might not be true for me.
No, it's not all relative. It's because of what movie?
It's a Wonderful Life, I think.
Yep, It's a Wonderful Life. Clarence.
Clarence,
and all the,
man.
Julie, you are only the second person in the history of the Catholic Answers game show to have answered every single question of the final judgment correctly. It possibly helped you a little bit that we had that angel's wings question at the end, but you deserved it because of the presentation circumcision one.
Amen. That
congratulations.
For two.
I'm going to tell you everything you got, and then when you pick your jaw up off the floor, we'll say goodbye to you. You won Inseparable, the brand new book about contraception and the proper use of human sexuality that came out on the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae this summer. You got Made This Way from Layla Miller with some cooperation from Trent Horn. You got Behold Your Mother from Tim Staples. Why We're Catholic from Trent Horn. Teaching with Authority from Jimmy Akin. The Fathers Know Best from Jimmy Akin. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church from Carlo Broussard. And $50 to shop.catholic.com. How do you feel about that, Julie?
I am so thankful. Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun, and I'm going to just love those resources, and I'm going to pass them around to my friends for the ones that I already have copies of.
Amen.
No, don't do that, because we want them to buy them. So, no.
And be sure to tell all those friends in Wenatchee that I said hi, Julie, and that I think about them often.
I definitely will.
All right, Julie.
I will, Carlo. You bet.
Congratulations, and an early Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to y'all.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Take it, Carlo. Swing it, man. Make it swing.
That's all I know. I don't know the next line.
Wow. That
Julie
is really
rocked
something.
It, man.
She comes into the church 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And she just came in here and just mowed it down as far as.
Amen. Well, she, like I said, she's a sharp knife in the sharp knife in the kitchen, my friend. She's a smart gal.
Yeah, a sharp knife in the cookie jar is just, that doesn't work. Well, Carlo, I really enjoyed it. Thanks for doing it.
Too.
I always
this
have fun
great,
when you do
man.
The game show.
Oh, but thank you. I always enjoy it. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's always fun when you do it, when Jimmy does it. It's not fun when Trent does it. I don't know why.
Man, you just like,
So what will the Broussard family do now? I know that you have – I asked the question in this regard. I know that as a family – you honor the season of Advent, and you don't just mix it all up. So tell me what the traditions are now.
Well, this year we kind of were a bit lenient on that.
Oh, so you eased
you
up
called
a little
me
bit.
At a bad time, man.
Oh,
no, normally during the season of Advent, we actually put up our tree, but we decorate it with Advent colors, you know, so the purple and the pink. And we do that for a couple of weeks into Advent, or 3 weeks. And then we'll, you know, when it's getting close, we'll change the tree to Christmas decorations, you know, in order to kind of have that visible transition there. But this year, we're actually heading out back home to Louisiana shortly after Christmas for a couple of weeks for vacation and for me to do a talk over there and to hang out with my folks and my siblings. And so this year we were lenient. We put up the Christmas decorations on the tree.
So that the kids would have them.
From the get-go, yeah. So we wanted to enjoy the beauty of the Christmas decorations. So. But at the same time, we kept the spirit of Advent in as much as in anticipation and certain prayers and singing the Advent hymns before our meal. So, so it's been a great time.
That's
man.
Beautiful.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Nick, we're about to go on Christmas break now here at Catholic Answers. You have a young family. Any Christmas traditions yet in your young family? I know you have one little lady and another baby on the way. You got any Christmas traditions you do as a family?
Oh, we'll do Christmas cookies, and then I'm not sure what after that. It'll
Christmas
be the first
cookies,
time
yeah.
we're at home for the holidays here.
What about assistant producer Marie? Can she tell me her Christmas tradition? You got any Christmas traditions in your family, assistant producer Marie?
So the Lebanese side of my family, we do a huge Christmas Eve party every year, and I have, I think, 49 cousins on that side. So
nice.
It's a big party, and we make Lebanese food, and it's just a good time.
Beautiful.
That's our biggest tradition.
Yeah, it's nice that your family comes in for Mass with us sometimes in the morning here. It's a great Lebanese family. And then what about Darren? Darren's standing right there. You're expecting your third child this Christmas. Any Christmas traditions in your young family? What do you do as Christmas traditions?
Well, just open presents Christmas morning.
Really?
Yeah.
So the kids give you and Rena presents
Exactly.
And you open them.
That's how it works.
That's really cool. That's great. That's great. Brandon, video guy, Christmas traditions or not? Oh, you should probably tell people that.
Hey, video guy.
Hey.
Hi, Brandon. Any family Christmas traditions?
Yeah, we have a family. And we do
traditions.
Actually, I have to say, I've been to your house, and the Christmas decorations are insane at your house.
It's ridiculous.
Every inch.
Really?
It's wild. His family.
Oh, wow.
I
want to go check that out.
Yeah. It's not as wild as Tim Staples' house, though. Lord help us.
There's a huge party at his house tonight. We're all invited.
I wasn't invited.
Yeah, you are. What? I wasn't invited.
All right. Thanks, Darren, for a great year here at Catholic Answers.
Amen.
Thanks, Nick, for a lot of great sound work. Thanks, Marie. We're so excited you came, Marie. We're at 2018, the high point. Marie, assistant producer Marie, came here. Brandon, thank you. You did a very fine job on the video. And hey, Carlo, enjoy the Christmas season with your family and
travels with your family. Same to you, brother.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you all to all of our listeners as well. We have a bunch of shows coming up between now and the end of the year, but they are pre-recorded shows, and we hope that you are we doing any live? No, they're all pre-recorded. So we'll still be here with you, but we're going to take a little break. To be honest, we're all going to take a little break. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.